back in our series called How Healthy Do You Want to Be? And I thought about this recently. Like, for some of us here, the idea of like dialoguing about health might be really encouraging, might be really exciting. Like, yeah, I really want to get healthy. And when we say healthy, we're talking about in like a lot of different ways. We want to become healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, intellectually, spiritually. Like, we want to be known as people where people can look at the Cloquet Vineyard, they can look at you, and they can see, I want to be someone like that. I want to have a healthy relationship. I want to have healthy friendships like they do. And we believe that we can operate in health because we believe that's what God's inviting us into. But there's also a lot of people in the room. The idea of getting healthy and talking about health, for like we're going to do this for the whole year, might feel like not as exciting. You might be here and you might just feel like, Chris, I'm just trying to survive. The whole idea of being healthy, I'm happy for you, but I just need to wake up tomorrow. And I got to get to work. I got to like raise my kids. And I'm not even concerned about health. I'm just concerned about getting through the day. And there's other people here where the idea of getting healthy, you can't see it. All you see is the overwhelmingly things that are unhealthy in your life. And the idea of like, oh, I want to dream about being healthy, that sounds awesome, but you just can't get over the obstacle of maybe like chronic pain. Or maybe you've recently gone through a divorce. Or maybe you just have some really hard, pressing things happening in your life. Let me say this to you, that you're in good company. You're in the perfect place. One thing we say all the time is God is a big fan of the real you, and the real you is someone that God loves. See, it's not just we get to grow when we're perfectly healthy, and we say, oh, I got everything figured out. Now I get to thrive with God. No, like God wants to come and meet you right where you're at right now. Right now. And when we can like remove that lie of saying we have to be better in order to get God's best, well, then we can begin to dream like what God dreams. Then we get to see what health might look like for him. Because I got this crazy feeling that like when God speaks to us about being healthy, it's going to look very different than what like maybe we read in the magazines about health. Of like when we dream about health, it might be different what God's dreaming. So our goal in this series is to not just like just tell you what to do and like have you try harder. That's not our goal. What we want to do is like start the conversation of like, what if there's this good and beautiful God who has a beautiful dream for your life? And what if as a community or as a small group or friends or as a couple, we can begin to pursue health in every area of our life. And you're going to be super pumped, because what we're talking about today is we're talking about physical health. We're actually talking about your body. And know what you're thinking. You don't even have to say. You're like, oh, awesome. I love talking about my body. That would be great. In January, yeah, my skin is like super, super pasty white. Awesome. Thanks, Chris. I love it. This is really encouraging. Right? The truth is that we don't really get super pumped up about our bodies. Right? Like, it just doesn't happen. We all have different reactions and responses to our body. Like, my son, who was here, when he was just he's still a little boy, but when he was even smaller, I remember walking by the bathroom right before he was going to go to school, and he looked in the mirror, and he goes, hello, good looking, and he kisses his muscles, and he, like, taps his chest. Like, I don't do that. So someone taught him, like, yeah, and he walked out the door to go to school. I want that kind of like response to my body, right? I do. I would love just to walk around like, hello, good looking. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me, all right? Yeah, he's right back there. Hey, Cole, that was you. So, and other people, like when you get in front of the mirror, you don't have that same response, right? You look in the mirror and you're like, well, I didn't know hair was supposed to grow there, right? And you're like, I have a mole there too. And then there's moles and the rolls. And you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, this. And you're trying to cover it up and squeeze things back. And it's just, that might have been a little too graphic. I apologize. But you know, that's the truth. It's the truth. When I go to the mirror to this day, even like, I love cold weather because we all get to wear like hat hair, right? Like, I did my best. I went to the bathroom right before I got here. Like, Nikki's like, your hair looks super weird. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hair. I'm like throwing water on it and like shaking. I don't know. That's what you get. That's water shaking it. But I look in the mirror, I still expect to see like a 20-year-old Chris, right? I still expect to see like this young, chiseled young man, right? And with a big afro, and I look in the mirror like, oh, hey, where'd my hair go, all right? Anyone else? You look in the mirror, that's what you see? Yeah, Jim, that's right, yeah. And you know what? Here's the issue with that. Somewhere along the line, we fall into this lie of, like, we have to be someone that we're not. Right? We usually feel guilt or shame or pressure of feeling that we have to be like someone else. Like we have to be one of the beautiful people, like Brad Pitt or Jennifer Lawrence or Steve Hamlin, all right? And we have this, no one laughed at that. Oh, he's coming. I should have timed it better, right? Or Steve Hamlin, all right? He's a beautiful person, all right? So we have this lie saying, if I looked like that, then I'd have value. If my body was that thin, if I looked like that when I wore high heels, if I had hair, right? If I had darker skin, if I had lighter skin, if I had curly hair, if I had straight hair, if I lost 30 pounds, if I gained 10 pounds, if I had an ab, right? Right? But we're friends with reality. A lot of us will associate our value, our self-worth, our intimacy, our ability to be desired, our ability to even be tolerated by the way that we look. But here's the problem with that. When do you get to the point? I've never met anyone. I've not met one person when they got to the point of saying, oh, now I've arrived. I have perfectly toned muscles. I don't have to do anything else. Everyone I talk to, they're like, there's a little bit more, a little bit more. And again, I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of being healthy. But when our health is like attached to like a certain kind of body, because our culture, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the culture just like celebrates bodies and sexuality and unhealthy. And I'd say our culture does not celebrate the body. It celebrates a kind of body. It does not celebrate the body. There's a specific kind of look, a specific kind of body that we say this is good and everything else is all right or maybe even disgusting. But here's the thing. That's not the Bible. Imagine that. That's not the Bible, right? It's true, but it's not the Bible. In Genesis 2, this is a story of how God creates the heavens and the earth and the animals, and he creates something, and he pauses back, and he says, that's good. It's like God's giving old attaboy in his back. He's like, whoa, that was good. I like that. Carlton, Minnesota, I made that. That is great. Right? And he goes through, it's good, it's good, it's good, and then it gets to where he creates women, he creates man. And he says, that is good. It says, Adam and Eve stood before each other naked, and it says what? Is it up there? Yeah, and they felt no shame. When's the last time that you stood naked in front of the mirror and felt no shame? Honestly. It's kind of weird that your pastor might be talking about getting naked in front of a mirror in church. I understand. That just came to my mind. Right? Like, when's the last time? Why can they look at each other before God and that their body is something to be celebrated? Why is it that they could stand? Because what's the opposite of shame? It's confidence. It's security. It might even be worship. That is something God made that is incredibly, incredibly beautiful. That is God's heart for you. That he loves every single thing about you, including your body. And the lie that we fall into is that, oh, my body is just kind of tolerated. It's not as good as my spirit. We're going to read a little bit about how that just is not God's heart. So let me just say this in advance. For those of you here, and there's a lot of us, men and women, young and old, where the way you view your body is something that you feel like is toxic. It haunts you. You lose sleep over it. There's stress over it again and again. It might be chronic pain. It might be your weight. It might be your hair. Like, God has something great for you today, not just later, not just when you lose 10 pounds. And what we're going to be talking about is how God, we can actually experience God through our body, how we can use our body as a way to worship. And when we do that, we actually are becoming healthier. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if that's you, you feel like the way you view your body, it might even be the way you treat your body, and you just feel like, I want freedom for that, just receive it as I pray. Because God's got something good for us. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. God, I thank you that like you yourself embodied a physical body, that you chose to be like us, that you created us. And when you created us, you said that is good. And there was no shame, there was no guilt, that like, the way that we could use our body was a way that we could be a right reflection of your kingdom. So I pray for all of us today, God, that that is what we pursue, to be a right reflection of the kingdom in the way we talk, and the way we eat, and the way that we use our body, and the way that we dream, the way we use our finances, all of it got to be a reflection of the goodness and the beauty of the kingdom of God. I pray you would deliver us, God, from the lie that says that we are not valued, that we have no worth because of fill in the blank with our body. We love you, Jesus. I pray you'd be with us and be close as we talk about this. Amen. Amen. All right, so where am I at? The beautiful people. So where we're going to start is that Jesus embodied the fullness of God. Jesus embodied the fullness of God. This is really important because why does God love the body? Is it even biblical that God loves our body? Well, think about it this way. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." God becomes flesh and blood. God, you know, his son, Jesus, comes to this earth in like a human form. Actually, a very vulnerable form as a little baby, very dependent form. Like, when I was a kid, and I'd be playing like in the sandbox, and you know, as a maybe as a girl, but as a boy, my boys do the same thing. Like, whatever is like the biggest and strongest wins, right? So you're playing in the sandbox, you're like, oh, here's my truck, it's bigger, and it crashes the other trucks, right? Why didn't God like send something big and powerful to represent his big and powerfulness? You ever thought about that? Why a human? Why a baby? Why didn't he send like just like a big robot that came down like Godbot, right? I'm going to license that, Godbot. Like, and it comes down like, I am God, I am good, I could crush you, don't test me, all right? That might be how some people view God. Instead of that, he sends a helpless little baby that could bleed, that cries, that it grows up, that's going to go through puberty, that has to like be fed, it has to find food, that is going to sweat, that needs haircuts, right? That is sore after it works all day long. Why does he come as flesh and blood? And here's why. Because God loves the human body. He created it, and he loves it. He says that we were created in his image. His image is not just our spirit. His image is not just our thoughts. It's not just a mental ascent. It's actually our physical body. And one thing that God's doing is, as a vineyard, one of our values is that we are a people of reconciliation. That we are being reconciled back with God and with each other. I have a buddy named John at another vineyard church, and the way he talks about like what's God's agenda, what is God's plan, it's coming and making the world perfect. Like, God wants to make the world absolutely perfect, every square inch of it, and that includes your body. God loves your body to the point that Jesus came to show us what it looks like to be fully human. Some people feel like, well, you know, you're way too human, you gotta be way more spiritual. Actually, I totally disagree. I think Jesus is the embodiment, the picture of what it means to be fully human. Because a fully human person is a spiritual person, is a compassionate person, is a kind person, is a caring person, a loving person. Jesus came to show us what it looks like to be fully human. And think about the ways that he uses his body, right? Like, he uses his body to like sit down and like laugh with people around a table and shares meals. We see that he uses his body when he's like dancing and celebrating with some of his friends. We see his body of like getting low and being with kids. Everyone else is trying to push kids away. He says, no, let them come to me. Jesus uses his hands and he touches the sick. One of the coolest things about Jesus is that he would touch the untouchables. The people are saying, whoa, no, you don't do that. That's not what we do. And Jesus would say, oh, yeah, that's what I do. Instead of the sickness coming to him, the power of the kingdom would go through him to the sickness. Like, the kingdom was this one-way direction. It was beautiful. He used his body to like be on the cross, that he died for us. And it's interesting because even in myself, when I think about, oh, yeah, you know, like, you know, God gave his life, it's easy for us just to go, oh, God gave his spirit. God gave his heart. God gave his best. And we don't always think about him giving his actual physical body. The way he prayed. Talks about the story in the garden before he goes to the cross where he prayed so much to the point where he was like sweating blood. His body was in a physical response to a spiritual reality, to his Father. 3 days later, he's resurrected. And not just in a spiritual form, not like just magical, ooh, I'm Jesus, ghost, kind of like, right? I doubt Jesus talked like that. But anyways, right? So it's not just ghosts. To the point, there's a story where his buddies say, hey, Jesus, why don't you eat some fish with us? Almost as a way of saying, like, is it just going to, like, drop out? Like, eat the fish and, whoo, and, like, it's a ghost, run away, right? It's his physical body ascended into heaven. See, God is a big fan of your body to the point that he came to take on our body so that he can be a me-too God. A me too God. We have a me too God where we can go to God about anything. God, it is really hard being distant. Like my husband, he works far away. This is really hard. God can say, yeah, me too. God, I'm lonely. Me too. God, I'm in chronic pain. My back is just killing. Jesus can say, me too. Every reality you have experienced emotionally, mentally, spiritually, or physically, on the cross, Jesus embodies all of it. We have a me too God because he came to be fully human. So if this is the case, right? If Jesus came to show us what it looks like to be fully human, like it's so easy to buy into this lie. Like almost like there's this disembodied spirituality. As a church, we've done a great job, as like global worldwide church, we've done a great job at almost like separating our bodies with our spirits. We'll talk about, hey, you got to like surrender your life to Jesus. They'll talk to people and say, you got to like ask Jesus into your heart. And he's interested in your soul. And there's this mystical thing, which is a great and beautiful thing, of experiencing God spiritually. But so often we can leave the body out of it. That almost like what we do spiritually doesn't impact us physically. And what we do physically doesn't impact us spiritually. And this comes from like this philosophical idea called dualism. Or it's a Greek philosophy where, like, the spirit was, like, the best thing. Like, your soul was, like, the greatest thing in the world. And that's all you needed to focus on was your soul. And it was almost like the physical world was this evil, dark place. And your body was like a jail. And you had to just wait till you died. And then the jail would, like, be busted open. The spirit could go to heaven. And that's all we were concerned about. And that meant then, like, then your body is just like this carnal flesh. If you got to eat, eat. If you got to do anything else, just do that. Don't worry about it because it doesn't impact your spirituality. But, like, that's not at all the gospel. That's not at all what we see in the life of Jesus. That he loves, in 1 Corinthians, talks about how our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, don't you know that your body was paid for a price, with a price of God, of Jesus? So God is a huge fan of our body, and he wants to redeem every square inch. So then what? So what are we supposed to do? This is what we're going to talk about. We're going through like four or five things. Then we can use our physical bodies to experience the pleasure of God, to worship God, and also as we do that, we pursue health. Because when we use our bodies in the way that God invited us into, we are becoming healthy in a lot of different ways than just physically. And it's out of Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. See, Paul doesn't say, hey, just offer your soul, just offer your heart, just offer your mind. He says, bodies. Why? He's saying, the way this is your true and proper worship, do you guys know what worship is? Like, the way we define worship is that it's our response to our knowledge of God, what we know to be true about God. So what we read in the Bible, at small group when we discuss, when we, like, read books or we dream, like, what we know to be about God and our experience of God. The way we respond to that is worship. And he's saying the way you should worship is by offering your body, offering every single part of yourself to worship God. So worship then isn't just us singing. Worship just isn't us just saying, all right, God, you're in control. It's actually inviting him to be in our body and using a body. And here's the first way that you can use to like pursue health in the way you respond and worship with your body. The first one is this, is celebrate. Celebrate. One of my friends, Michael, who's the senior pastor at Duluth Vineyard, he talked about this often. He talked about like getting up in the morning and standing in the mirror. And again, when we look in the mirror, we see, what did I call it, the moles and the rolls, right? When you instead of seeing all the negative things, start just by thanking God and go through every body part. God, thank you for my feet. Thank you for the places that it's taken me. When I was a kid and like running on the beach to when I was in college, I'm able to ride the trains in Europe to the feet that helped me get the job, to the feet that took me to the place where the hospital where I got to deliver my kid. God, thank you for my knees. Yeah, they hurt. Yeah, they actually hurt a lot, God, but thank you that I'm still able to bend down and play with my grandkids. God, thank you for the hands, the way you used my hands to create beautiful art, to create, like, wonderful tasting food, to be able to fix that car, God, thank you for my ears that I can hear the beautiful music. God, thank you for the eyes of the way I still get to see my friends. God, thank you for my stomach that it's healthy. You know, one thing I think about is like, I thank God often for my heart. Right? I like thank him for my heart. I've had some people in my life who have had heart attacks, and I'm like, oh, okay, as I'm eating like 10 pieces of pizza, like, oh, okay, I'm going to put that one down. That it still beats. Like, what if you just took a moment and you began to worship God just by saying, God, thank you for how good you are in my body. Even though it might feel imperfect, even though you might not be the biggest fan of it, the way we move towards health is by God, thanking God, by worshiping him with it. So you start by celebrating. And then the next one we can do is doing things physically. Doing things physically that you enjoy and doing them with God. Sometimes, again, we can separate the two of the way I work is not the way I worship. The way I play basketball has nothing to do with my spirituality. But if the truth is that everything is touching, then we can actually use our bodies, things that we already enjoy, and do it with God. I remember being a kid, and I loved playing basketball. I was no good at basketball. I loved it. I was the kid that would be like, Chris, go in there. And I'd come out 30 seconds later and have like four fouls. And like, hey, did I do it right, coach? He's like, sit down, shut up. So, but I loved playing. I still remember going out in my driveway and setting up ladders and trying to shoot over them, pretending I was Scottie Pippen. And I had like a metal net, and you'd hear it and do like this weird like shing shing shing. I remember running up and down the court during practice because that's the only time I got to play was in practice, right? And I'd run up and down the court, and I was not fast. Like, I know I'm not fast, but in my mind, as I was running up and down the court dribbling, I felt like I was the fastest kid in the world. And I had a big afro, and I could feel that thing going up and down, right? But in those moments, as a kid, I could not have put words to it of saying, oh, that was God's pleasure in my life. But as I look back, I felt so much joy. I felt so alive doing physical things. I had a time just recently where, I've shared this story before, but where I was meeting with a spiritual director named Larry. And Larry like sent everyone out. He's like, hey, you're going to take 2 hours, and I want you just to go like experience God's joy. Experience his pleasure over your life. And he goes, you can do whatever you want. He's like, you can go and take a nap. You can go and read. And he used like pretty much like spiritual things, like reading your Bible, listening to music, or things that I attribute to that those are spiritual. And they were all within the house. And I went up to Larry, and I said, Larry, I want to go for a run. I was almost like ashamed, like, I want to exercise. And I'm like, is that okay? He goes, Chris, are you asking my permission? are you asking for me to allow you to go run what God created you to do? Like, and he said this, Chris, God's a big boy, he can speak for himself. If he's inviting you to run, run with God. I'm like, oh, I never thought about that, running with God. So I got my stuff on, and I went running, and it was on this hill. I remember I had to run uphill, and I'm not a big fan. As you can clearly see, not a fan of running uphill. I like going downhill. But so going uphill, and I had this like deep experience with God, how God kept saying yes to me. How I felt like there was other times where, like the story about basketball, there was always someone better than me. There was always someone else that got the best. And I was always just the kid in the background saying, all right, can I come along? Oh, man, I don't really want to cry about that now. But that was such a powerful moment where I felt like God said, Chris, I choose you. I love you. And I was bawling as I'm running up this hill. People are driving by like, yeah, I know why he's crying. As I'm running up, going, right? And now, you guys, now when I run, I feel God's pleasure. I just recently, I was running on the lake walk, and I was passing, listening to this message all about how we can radically say yes to Jesus. What if we're a people of peace that just looks different? And this guy was talking, and it just hit me at the right spot. And I am, if you know me, I'm not like a hallelujah, brother. That's just not who I am, right? And I'm running, I'm so lost in the moment. He says this word, this truth, and I yell out, hallelujah, all right? Not my personality. And I didn't see, I was passing this woman at the time, all right? So I'm like running, and I was like, hallelujah, and she stops, looks at me, and you're welcome. So we can have these experiences with God in doing physical things. Like, what do you love to do? Or maybe, like, when you're younger, what did you love to do? Maybe you loved hearing like the pit, pat, pit, pat of running on the dock and jumping and doing belly flops. Don't do belly flops. It's not as much fun as it used to be, all right? Maybe it was like going for a walk. Maybe it was riding your bike. Maybe it was playing like lacrosse. Maybe it was like doing yoga. Like what if we could engage our physical body and experience the pleasure of God as we do it? So my encouragement to you this week is just dream with God. Just like Larry said to me, God's a big boy, he can speak for himself. And say, God, like what would it look like, God, if like I did something physical where I could do it with you? I could experience your pleasure as I use my hands, as I create art, as I walk, as I jog, as I sled. I'm going to tell you a story about sledding in a little bit. So doing things that we physically enjoy and doing with God. The next one is this, taking care of your body. And for some of us that you might think, yeah, we got to take care of our body. But I have to be reminded of this like often. Like ways we can take care of a body is a spiritual exercise. Like what about this? Simple one. Going to bed on time. Like, am I the only one that, like, if I go to bed before 10 p.m., I feel like I'm missing out? Am I the only one that has fear of missing out, FOMO? No? I am alone. I'm in an island alone. All right, thank you, Lori, just for pretending to raise your hand to make me feel better. So, like Facebook is going to be okay if you're not looking at it at 1 in the morning, right? Like, House of Cards will still be there in the morning, right? Like, you can read about the sports game in the morning. You don't have to stay up. Like, taking care of your body could be sleeping. Another way you could take care of your body that could be a spiritual exercise is by slowing down. I was going for a walk in Jay Cook just on Friday. And it was beautiful. It was snowing. And I'm walking. And I had some things I wanted to do. And I heard a bird. And I'm like, oh, my wife loves birds. And so I tried like just like stopping and listening to the bird. And I could only hear one. And then like I completely stopped. Not like walking and trying to listen. I slowed down. And I closed my eyes, and instead of hearing one bird, I heard about 20 birds. And I had this like spiritual like experience with God of where I felt like God was saying, Chris, if you just slow down and actually took time to listen, you're gonna hear that there's like 20 of a lot of things that you never hear, that you never see, and you miss out. So it might be like sitting down for 5 minutes and closing your eyes and dreaming of God, dreaming what He loves. It might be taking a walk on your lunch break. It might be like going with like your friend and just going to a movie and slowing down instead of having to go like do more laundry, more laundry, more laundry. Like you have permission to take care of your body. You're not cheating. And the reason I'm saying that, I talked to a lot of people saying, no, I'm cheating. If I take time for myself, have you noticed that it's so much easier to take care of every single person's needs except our own? Right? It's so easy to put the needs, and that's Philippians 2, put all the needs above your own, right? Lower yourself and take care of the people around. That's good. But at some point it doesn't become good when all you're doing is focusing on other people. All you're doing is giving them like your best and your time to the point of where you run yourself ragged. That's not some spiritual exercise of being so exhausted and tired where your body aches and it hurts and you're stressed out. And you're resentful and you're bitter. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. You can, like, take care of your body. All right, the next one is this, and this is my favorite one, is that we can play. We can play. And as an adult, even as I say that, it feels foreign to me. Like, I'm a fun guy. Right? I like to have fun. I'm a huge extrovert. But at some point, there comes this line of where I want to have a lot of fun, and then when it comes to play, I back up. Like, I was at my parents' house, and we were sledding with the Gundersons, their neighbors. And they have, like, a couple 13, 14 kids. They got a ton of kids, right? And they had this huge, huge, like, sled. It's this big black sled. And all the kids hopped in it, and they're like, come on, Chris, come in with us. And my kids were there, and I looked at it, and I'm like, nah, I'm okay. And they're like, no, really, come sled with us. And I'm standing there, I'm like, nah, you guys go. And it wasn't because I had pain. I don't have some deep fear of sledding, all right? There's just something inside me that says, I just don't do that. I don't do that. And what don't I do? Play with my kids? What don't I do? Like, have fun and show that as an adult you can actually, like, enjoy life. Everything doesn't have to be work or serious. And it wasn't until I actually started getting ready for this message that I looked back at that and I said, why didn't I slide? And I thought, why don't I play more? Why don't I actually like slow down and enjoy life? Like, when's the last time that you and your spouse played together? And not just like the way you're thinking, right? Do that as well. Do that as well, right? Big fan of doing that, all right? It's true. You should. It's healthy, right? Married people, we should be having a lot. I keep forgetting there's kids here. You should play. So, but when's the last time that you just simply played? That you went running, or you got in a tickle fight and you laughed so hard, right? Your lungs hurt. Seriously, when's the last time that you just simply enjoyed one another? You know, there's so many people in marriage, even in friendships, where they just tolerate. And so here's what we do. We do the same thing. Date night always looks like this. We eat this meal. We go to bed at this time. Like, do you enjoy each other? You can use your physical body to play. One thing I love about seeing my parents and my in-laws is they love playing. They love playing with my kids. From like throwing snowballs at them, right? To like throwing them on, like my father-in-law plays this game called Get Back in That Bed, where the kids like just hop off the bed and then he hides and then he scares them to the point where they almost like wet themselves, like, ah! And then he takes them and just throws them on the bed. They could do that for hours, right? That they're not afraid to play. What would it look like just to be a people that we can play? What if the Cloquet Vineyard could be a place where people can show up and not just hear some great music, not have some good coffee, but where there's an energy and there's a vibe of the good and beautiful life? It means it transcends all things, that you can enjoy each other. You know, one of my deep dreams, one of our goals, it says in our program, is that we want to have life-giving relationships. Like, what would it look like if people can walk in and this is a place where they could find their friends? This is a place where they could find friends that love what they love, where they could play. Like, where right now the Vineyard kids, they're playing. I watched some girls her first time, and she walked in, and she didn't really know any, and she saw one of her friends, and you could see her light up. And I looked over, and they're playing Foursquare, and someone's, like, taking dolls and, like, bashing them together, right? And they were playing, and it was inviting to a kid. What if we could have a culture where people walk in, and they feel that welcome and that love and that energy? The way that we use our body is inviting. And here's my last one. Here's the last one. Is that we can use our body to worship. We can actually use our body to worship. You know, if you're newer to following Jesus or you're newer to the Vineyard, you might notice that we stand when we sing, when we do worship. Some people like raise their hands. Some people, when we pray, hold their hands open. And the thing is, like, we want to use our body in a physical way as representing something internal. Like the way, like for me, that when I'm singing and I raise my hands up, it's almost like I'm saying, God, like, you get all of me. I surrender. Like the Vikings game, right? I went last Sunday and it was a lot warmer than it is today and it was freezing cold, all right? And what we do when something big had happened, we jump up and throw our hands up as a way of what? Of having a physical response to something that we saw or we experienced. We do the same thing at the Vineyard. We want to use our body as a way of worship, or responding to God. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to take a little bit of time. I'm going to invite you to stand in 1 second, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask God that his kingdom, like his presence, would come and invade us, would come close to us, not just our spirit, not just our soul, but our physical body. So why don't you stand with me? Let's pray. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And we thank you that you are good, God. Thank you that when you created us, what you saw was good. Thank you that as Adam and Eve stood before each other naked, they felt no shame. That when we can see what you see, God, and we can love what you love, we don't have to carry guilt or shame, even the way that we see ourselves. So I just pray for those of us here, that when they look in the mirror, they'll look and say, wow, is that good? And what they see is something disgusting. What they see is something to be tolerated. What they see is something shameful. And if that's you, just if you're praying, your eyes are closed, just keep them closed, stay engaged with God. If that's you, you feel like the way that you see your body, the way your body image is not one to be celebrated. It's not something where you're like, yeah, hello, good looking, but you feel like it's the exact opposite. I just encourage you to just hold open your hand, almost just as a simple way of physically saying, God, whatever you have for me, I want to receive. And I'm going to pray over you, and you just receive that. So Holy Spirit, I pray for those of us, I pray for my friends here, God, where the way they see their body is just not one that is beautiful. And I speak against the lie of the enemy that says you are disgusting. If only you looked like this, if only you were taller, if only you were shorter, only if you were heavier, only if you were lighter, then you would be beautiful. And I say no. And in exchange of that lie, God, I pray you'd put the truth of Jesus that you are loved, that you are to be celebrated, that your body was actually paid for by a price of Jesus coming to this earth. Why? Because he is so crazy about you. Not just someone else, but you. And right now, God, I pray we'd experience the reality of the good and beautiful life that you have for us. Not just in the future in heaven, but right now. Come. And will you show us what it looks like, God, to play? Will you show us what it looks like to experience pleasure as we do physical things? God, will you show us what it looks like to take care of our bodies? Give us a vision of being incredibly healthy. We love you, Jesus. If there's anything else in your life that you'd like prayer for, we'd love to do that. We're going to worship for a little bit longer, and you have plenty of time before the game starts. So sit or stay engaged, love Jesus, hang out with each other, have another donut, have a great Sunday.